When competing in any kind of political race, there are always going to be feats and obstacles. Hi, I'm Jamie Christmas, and today I'm going to be interviewing my dad about running for judge with only 2 months of prior preparation.
The story about how you left your job to run for judge.
Well, in 2011, by that point I had been working for the city for, more than 20 years. And at that particular time I was working for Councilwoman Blackwell, and she had a lot of involvement in people running for judge. So I got to see over the 6 years that I worked for her how the judicial elections worked. And I thought I could give it a shot. I definitely thought that I was already interested in elective office. And I didn't, just starting out, I didn't feel comfortable running against, possibly running for city councilman or running for other local offices. The judicial offices were better for me and what I wanted to do because it didn't require running against any incumbent. So, that was part of my reason for selecting that at that point. And also, it did require that I leave the relative security of, my position with the government and with Councilwoman Blackwell was pretty secure. It didn't involve much risk the way, at best the judicial, run was a chance event. There was no guarantee of winning ever. As it turns out, there were 10 vacancies. 46 people ran. So, I had a little better than maybe 20% chance of winning the seat just in a random sense. I eventually pulled out of the race.
Why did you drop out?
I when I started out, I was running mostly on inspiration. But as I got deeper into, the campaign, it became clear that the key elements that were needed to be successful in the judicial race were money, ballot position, and party endorsement. And I raised $60,000 when I really needed $200,000. My ballot position was number 36 out of 46, so I was way down the ballot. Very difficult. Most voters, they don't pay a lot of attention to the judicial races, so sometimes they don't even vote for the judges because very often their names you don't recognize. So maybe, if you're in, the conventional wisdom is you need to be in the top. If there are 10 seats, you need to be in the top 10 to win. If you're way down on the ballot, it's very unlikely that voters will even recognize that you're there, even when they know you. So that was on the ballot position. And then on the party endorsement, there were many people who had run before. So I was running for my first time, and many other people were running for their second time and even third time. And one of the, just for example, one of the things that people do to get the Democratic Party endorsement is to do legal services or legal work for committee men or ward leaders or other electeds. And, or party leaders, and then party leaders reward them with the endorsement. And with the endorsement comes your name being printed on all of the party's sample ballots and your name being printed on the ward ballots very often in the 64 wards around the city. Not having enough money, party endorsement, and bad ballot spot. Those are the reasons why I really needed to come out of the race.
What were your first steps to running?
Well, the first step is to gather up 1,000 signatures of, you know, registered voters that reside in the city. And this is, you know, this is quite difficult. I mean, very often, you know, people don't want to be bothered, you know, you approach them, asking them to sign your petition to be judged. And, you know, what basis do they have to make that judgment? That you would be a good judge. I mean, it seems a lot of faith to put in a person walking around with a random petition saying, please make me a judge, and they don't know you. But in any event, I did manage to get close to 2,000 signatures. And I had help from people who gathered up signatures from neighbors and friends and everything like that. So, you know, you gotta get your 1,000 signatures, and you have a short window of time within which to obtain those signatures. It's a 3-week period. I think maybe 6 or 9 weeks out from the election day, prior to the election day. So, and you have to go file those petitions in Harrisburg. And there are very strict rules about the quality of those signatures. If it turns out that some of your signatures are bad, maybe a person tells you they're a registered voter, whether they're not. Just because they don't know they're not registered anymore, they have to vote recently. That's a bad signature. So if you only turned in 1,000, then now you're down to 999 and you don't get on the ballot. So it's customary to obtain more signatures than you need. I obtained close to 2,000. But so I went to Harrisburg and I, you know, filed my petitions with my signatures, and my name, amazingly, was placed on the ballot, so that at least, I mean, I could have gotten some votes. Again, on a subsequent trip to Harrisburg, is where when you go to, so first it's determined that your name is going to be on the ballot, and then it is determined where on the ballot is it going to be. And so you literally, it's determined by lottery. So it's random. So you stick your hand in a bag, you pull out a number, and that's going to be your ballot spot. And sadly, my ballot spot was number 36, way out of the top 10, and which made my chances, it definitely made the race harder for me to win. That's right.
How did leaving your job to run affect your friends and family, if at all?
I think, you know, people had always associated me with, you know, working for the city. You know, now that I was running for elective office and campaigning, I think it caused my friends and family and to see me as a politician then. You know, a person going around saying, please vote for me. You know, I'll be great. I'll do what you say. I'll do what you want. You know, trying to please people. I would go to different organizations like police organizations or neighborhood organizations or labor organizations and give talks that were designed to get their support of my candidacy. And obviously you're put to saying things you think they may want to hear. And that's basically politicking. So I think that people saw me make that transformation from just being a government official appointed to now an elected official who's put to, you know, attempting to derive support directly from the voters.
Did you have outside help when running?
I did. A close relative gave me $60,000, which was amazingly generous support because she knew that I was a bit of a long shot, but she was nevertheless willing. So that was obviously a compelling expression of generosity on her part. I got, you know, I got some in-kind help. A friend of mine was going to, he runs a billboard company. He was going to, you know, put a billboard up for me saying, vote for John Christmas. You know, big picture of me off the highway. So when you would be, you know, traveling from the airport, you'd see a big billboard, you know, vote for John Christmas. Christmas for Philadelphia, I think, was my campaign slogan.
Classic.
And I also had some smaller gifts, you know, friends that gave me $1,000. So, like I say, on whole, I think I raised about $60,000. And then, as I, again, I did get some in-kind. I got people to get signatures for me, for example. So where people didn't give me money, they were able to help me get signatures. And that was obviously a help because it is a pretty big effort getting 1,000 signatures. Or 2,000 in my case. Yeah, I got help.
Lucky you. Were you confident in running and why?
At first, I was confident, you know, because I did have a lot of well-wishers, right? People saying, oh, wow, John, you'd be great. And that was good. But again, the main things you needed were the money, the ballot position, and the party endorsement. So, you know, it's very difficult to run in a judicial race in Philadelphia. You're running citywide, so you're running in every section of the city. Generally speaking, you need about 50,000 votes to be in the top 10. So that's just a rough number to think about. So 50,000 votes, so that's quite a good number of people. You know, just by way of contrast, if you run for a city council member seat district-wide, you may only need 12 or 13,000 votes. So, you know, running in a citywide election, you know, you need a big number of votes, like I say, 50,000. So as I, you know, as I saw that that's what you need the money for. So if you need $200,000, it's to have your name on all of the ward ballots in the 64 wards around the city, every section of the city, to have people working and handing out your literature at many different polling places around the city where there are a lot of voters. That's what you need the money for. And if you don't have that money, then your name is not on those ballots all around the city. You do not have people working on the polls, handing out your literature. And you do not have money for literature if you don't have that money. And so as a result, it's difficult to get the name recognition and name familiarity around the city in different sections of the city that would enable you to get 50,000 votes. And you know, that's what happened.
Are you glad you ran?
I'm glad I ran. I learned a lot. I enjoyed the excitement of, you know, fundraisers and, you know, I learned about, you know, the money aspect of politics, the party aspects of politics, the racial aspects of politics. And so it was an invaluable experience. I would do it again, you know, but obviously greater preparedness. But it was a rewarding experience. I don't regret it at all, even one day.
That's good. If you had the opportunity to run again, what would you do differently?
Well, I would get the money together first. I would get the party endorsement locked up early. And then ballot position doesn't make as much difference. So I would get those two pieces. I would talk to people and I would plan more. I think last time I may have planned 2 months before I started. I needed to plan a year ahead. In order to allow myself enough time to raise the money, because it's very difficult to raise $200,000 in 2 months. But I didn't know that I needed that money. And I thought that, you know, I naively thought that all of the people that I knew in politics would do all these things just because they thought I was a great guy and they actually want to be paid. So I realized that, and, you know, so you got to pay ward leaders for the work they do to promote your candidacy in their wards. You have to pay them for that, and you got to, you know, it takes an amount of time. So I would start early raising money. I would start early seeking the party endorsement. and so that I'm not so reliant on ballot position, which is completely random.
This has been Jamie Christmas on Crossing Career Boundaries. Thank you for listening.